Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. This is what we have in store for you for this October 17th, 2012 edition.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, threats to assassinate Romney explode after the debate. We show you all the tweets. Plus, sleeping man in synagogue wakes up to beating from police. And Darren McBreen sits down with Jakari Jackson to discuss the LA riots and how it could happen again if Obama loses the election. All this and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
We have breaking news, top story, headline. FBI entraps witless patsy in Federal Reserve bombing plot. This is just another in a string of patsy setups from the FBI. And if you say, hey, what do you mean a string of patsy setups? We'll cover that in just 1 second. But first, let's get into the article. Federal authorities in New York have arrested a Bangladeshi man with overseas connections to Al-Qaeda who planned to blow up the Federal Reserve. I mean, this is just a bunch of, derivative currency anyway. It's like guarding a toilet paper factory. But hey, people say it's a priority. Let's get back into the article. NAFIS was provided with inert explosives by federal agents and closely monitored by the FBI as he tried to act out his plot, according to the Associated Press. Federal authorities said the public was not in any danger at any point during its sting operation. Its sting operation. So now you say, hey, what do you mean a string of FBI patsies? Let's take a look at a few articles. This is from RT. FBI organizes almost all terror plots in the U.S. A recent report put together by Mother Jones in the investigative reporting program at the University of California, Berkeley, analyzes the striking statistics about the role of FBI informants in terrorism cases. The report reveals that the FBI regularly infiltrates communities where they suspect terrorist-minded individuals to be engaging with others. If you guys remember Timothy McVeigh of the Oklahoma City bombing, he had connections with LOM City based there in Oklahoma. And I wouldn't say that those guys were militants or terrorists or anything like that, but they were people who were trying to live off the grid and they wanted to spin their fabrication. Of course, we know Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols ended up holding the bag for it. But hey, there were other people involved in that, which we don't have time to go into detail here, but check out A Noble Eye. It's all in there. Next story. This one, old InfoWars story. Why the FBI got away with the first WTC bombing. If you guys remember the bombing back in 1993, Rob Dew and I were laughing. He said he just graduated high school and I think I was in second or third grade at the time. But anyway, the FBI had their patsy cook a bomb. Now, you say, why would the FBI have somebody cook a bomb? Originally, it's supposed to be a training exercise. They told the guy to make, you know, a fake bomb, a dummy bomb, so the FBI could go in there and defuse the bomb, the fake bomb. But what ended up happening is the FBI called the guy to say, hey, bomb maker, why don't you make a real bomb? And the guy says, hey, what do you want me to make a real bomb for? So the guy had enough smarts, the bomb maker, to record his conversations. So when the thing actually did go boom, he had something to fall back on, and that's the only thing that really saved his bacon from getting skinned alive by the FBI. But hey, that sounds like a conspiracy theorist to me. So we will move on to our next story. Prepper put on no-fly list stranded in Hawaii. If you guys watched the show yesterday, you saw a good interview by David Knight talking about this topic. Let's take a look at the article. 34-year-old U.S. citizen and Mississippi resident Wade Hicks boarded a military flight to visit his wife. Stopping off in Hawaii to refuel, upon reboarding the plane, Hicks was quickly escorted back off again by armed guards. He turned up on the no-fly list. Now you say, this guy, he shows up on the no-fly list. I'm sure they had a good reason. He's probably a dirty terrorist, or maybe he made threats against some political official, which we'll cover in just 1 second. But no, let's take a look at this guy's credentials. He has a transportation worker identification credential granted by none other than the TSA. So the TSA doesn't even, you know, value their own credentials. And he also has classified clearances as a defense contractor, and he has a valid passport. So what crime did this man do? Dun, dun, dun. He is a, right there in the title, prepper. So, you know, if you have a couple of extra cases of bottled water, maybe some cheese crackers or some MREs, maybe even some ammunition, you get put on a no-fly list as a terrorist. And you guys heard Rahm Emanuel say, if you can't fly, you shouldn't buy, meaning he He doesn't want you to own a gun if you can't fly on a plane because you're on a no-fly list. But nobody really knows how you get on a no-fly list and how you get off of it. This guy is married to a Navy lieutenant. He is a defense contractor, but he's on the no-fly list as a prepper. And this is, we heard a similar story last week. It didn't concern planes, but a couple was deemed a constitutionalist, whatever that may mean. I assume it means that you know your rights, but I guess that's a bad deal. So anyway, the police are called to the couple's house because a neighbor heard an argument. Nothing wrong with that, a concerned neighbor. The police show up. The SWAT team freaks out because these people are listed as constitutionalists, whatever that means. The SWAT team raids the house. They find nothing but tomato plants. I'm not exactly sure what you plan to find in a house of constitutionalists besides possibly a copy of the U.S. Constitution, but that's the new way. No fly, no buy. So if Rahm Emanuel gets his way, if you magically end up on one of these lists, you won't be able to own a gun. That's how it is. Next story. Threats to assassinate Romney explode after debate. I love that graphic. Who made that graphic? Somebody just tell me real quick. Marcos. All right. That's pretty much what it is. This is another in a series of articles from our very own Paul Joseph Watson. And if we take a look at some of these things here, let's see. I hate Romney. Like, I'll personally assassinate him. I'm not even scared. Get at me, FBI. And I bet they will come knocking. Let's go on to the next one. There's another one after that. Okay, it's simple. If Romney wins, someone will assassinate him. Like, you're fired. Bada bing, bada boom. If Romney wins, someone will probably assassinate his blank the next day. And give me a rifle, I'll assassinate both Romney and Obama. Well, Mark Garcia, since you actually made a threat to Obama, you may actually have somebody come knocking at your door, and other people want Romney to die because they hate his voice. So another series of well thought out tweets from the internet, but you know, what do you really expect? And I'm sure a lot of these are just a bunch of people with a good internet connection and too much free time on their hands, but there may be some valid threats in there. And you saw guys like Mark there. He made a specific, you know, threat against two people, one of them being the United States president. So maybe somebody investigated. Yeah. Give me a rifle, I'll assassinate both Romney and Obama. If it was just Romney, who knows? But Romney and Obama. So, all right. We'll move on to another article related to this. Another Paul Joseph Watson. New threats to riot if Obama loses election. All right. We see, despite the issue receiving national media attention, Obama supporters continue to threaten to riot if Mitt Romney wins the presidential election. So we have a couple here. If Romney win, we should start a riot. I heard Mitt Romney trying to take away food stamps. I hate reading. Well, I hate when people type Ebonics. I really do. If he do, I'ma start a riot. Let's just get that off the screen. I don't even want to look at that anymore. Oh man, why do you type Ebonics? You know, people get on me because I drop the G's. I have a bit of a, I don't want to say a southern draw, maybe an Oklahoma draw. Anyway, but speaking of riots, I'll be talking with Darren McBreen, who was there for the LA riots. So stay tuned after this break and after a Rob Dew interview. I'll be back with Darren McBreen to talk about the LA riots. So stay tuned for that. It's no laughing matter. It's just hard for me to remember all that on the spot. All right, next story. Police arrest U.S. presidential candidate Jill Stein at debate site. Now, this is another example of how people in third parties, I'm in no way endorsing Jill Stein, so don't, InfoWars, Alex Jones is endorsing Jill Stein. We are not doing that. I'm not doing that. Alex is not doing that. It's just this lady, Jill Stein. You guys can go through the article. Police arrested Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein and her running mate Sherry Hankanala after they tried to enter the site of tonight's presidential debate at Hofstra University. The two were protesting against the exclusion of all but the two major political parties from taking part in the debate. So we see here just more exclusion. Whether you're for the Green Party or not, I'm definitely not. Whether you're for libertarians like Gary Johnson or not, he's actually suing these people saying that they're discriminating against him, not allowing him into the debates. And he has a very valid point, as does Jill Stein. Regardless if you agree with Jill Stein's politics, whether you agree with Gary Johnson's politics, these guys are being blackballed. They're not being allowed to participate. And it just goes to show you that We really do have a two-party system here in this country, a left-right paradigm where you don't have really much choice because you're going to pick Romney or Obama, and the choice has really been done for you, so you really don't have much of a say. And if Romney and Obama really do have it going on like that, they have nothing to be concerned about a Jill Stein or a Gary Johnson. These guys have millions upon millions of dollars, a legion of fake Twitter followers. Well, we saw some real Twitter followers, but it has been released that both Romney and Obama have a sizable amount of fake Twitter posters. So that's what it is. And so you're not being allowed to make your own choice. You are having to choose between Obama and Romney. Next story. Sleeping man in synagogue wakes up to beating from police. So let's just read the article. A volunteer guard called the police on the shirtless fellow who reportedly tried to explain to the officers that he had permission to crash on the couch. And we see the video right there. So the cops, yeah, I just started right there. That's good. Okay. So you see, the article points out that this guy was engaged in, it's not even a fight. The cop squares up, punches the guy in the face, and now they're beating him. Look at that. I mean, that's horrible. That's completely horrible. The guy doesn't even look like he's fighting back. He could barely protect himself, if anything, but the cops basically assault this guy viciously, repeatedly, beating this guy down, and of course, they're being investigated by internal affairs, and we all know how that goes. And, you know, I say it all the time, because it seems like every time I get on the air, that's another police brutality story, and I really would like to come on here and do an episode of the InfoWars Nightly News and not have to report on police brutality. But, I mean, you guys, please, you're not giving me a chance to report about anything else. I like to talk about Star Wars speeder bikes, but instead I got to talk about cops beating up shirtless men, and, the girl, lady officer got into the action, too, with some pepper spray. Ridiculous, and, you know, internal affairs will, you know, probably flush the report down the toilet, along with your constitutional rights. Next story. Crash factory chemical accident leads to deadly poison cloud. Let's look into it. When workers at a German Kraft Foods factory accidentally poured nitric acid into a tank of sodium hydroxide, 250 factory workers fled and about 700 firefighters arrived at the scene to combat the resultant blaze. About 1,800 people have been evacuated from the area, and authorities have closed all nearby schools and kindergartens as well as passing traffic. So, you know, that is a horrible accident, and I definitely feel for those people in that area, because it's not just the factory, but the surrounding area as well. But in other Kraft news, they are pushing hard against Proposition 37, which would force the labeling of GMOs. So, I mean, I definitely have concern for the workers, but hey, Kraft, they're against Proposition 37, so lost profits. So keep paying your workers, but if Kraft, you lose a little bit of profits over that, I'm not going to shed any tears for you. Next story. Tea Party versus Agenda 21. Saving the U.S. or just irking it? Now, Mr. Joe Dugan had this to say. Agenda 21 is nothing short of treason. If you don't know what Agenda 21 is, you're not alone. Only about 15% of Americans do. And I think Rosa Corey said it best, and people asked her, what is Agenda 21? She said, what is it? It's about your food, where you eat, your transportation. And to that extent, we have another and a great series of reports from Melissa Melton and Aaron Dykes explaining and exposing the corruption and cover up that is Agenda 21. So let's take a look at that video now.
I'm Melissa Melton here with Aaron Dykes for InfoWars Nightly News, where we're attending the third in a series of sustainable development meetings here in Central Texas. Concentrated, smart, balanced urban growth, that's troubling to you.
That's downtown Austin. And this is not downtown Austin.
It's really up to you. It's your plan. It's your city.
The small town rural feeling is going away.
This is how Agenda 21 takes over a small town.
For the purposes of the survey, go with your gut. However, we've given you a hard copy of the survey.
This is a typical kind of push-pull sort of meeting. It's based on the Texas Triangle thing, where they're trying to increase density between Dallas and Houston and San Antonio, and Austin just happens to be in the middle of that.
These plans were created by a stakeholder group, correct?
Which plans?
plans that you guys are talking about here, the ones that you're bringing here?
We're still in the process of trying to understand what people want in their towns. So there are no plans at this point. We have empty maps.
We're not starting from sort of an empty slate.
We don't have a single solution or agenda that we're trying to impose on everyone.
They're telling planners how to lie to the people and how to lie to elected officials and how to manage people like us, how to shut us down.
ICLEI's Local Agenda 21 Planning Guide laid out the formula for successful implementation of sustainable development schemes, starting with a partnership and using a community-based issue analysis before putting the plan into action, then implementing and monitoring its subcomponents. Mari Strong, the leading voice behind the United Nations Agenda 21, endorsed the Local Agenda 21 Planning Guide, calling upon local and regional municipalities to, quote, hit the trenches, saying, of the many programs that have resulted from the Earth Summit, none is more promising or important than this one, which has hundreds of local authorities around the world now setting out and implementing their local Agenda 21s. The planning guide explains how the use of local and community terminology gives legitimacy to this implementation of sustainable development, all while the stakeholder group made up of local corporations and bureaucrats is given the real power.
I'm here with Jeff Barton, and he's been kind enough to speak with us at the past two meetings, both in Hutto as well as in, where was the first one at? Elgin? Well, I tracked down the Local Agenda 21 Planning Handbook.
The Local Agenda 21 Planning Handbook, okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, looks interesting. Who puts it up?
It was published with the United Nations Environmental Program, and it was published with the ICLEI. That's an NGO for Local Agenda 21 Implementation.
Okay, all right.
I find it interesting they use a lot of the same buzz terms. For instance, they've got a glossary here of some of their sustainable development planning. They've got community meetings. They've got public hearings. They've got vision building. They've got workshops. And they've got specific outlines for how to approach the community, how to define and build the stakeholders groups. A lot of the same terminology we see in the Sustainable Places Project, you know, developed through the consortium with CAPCOG and the other groups.
I don't feel like that's direction from the United Nations, you know, or from any nefarious group. But, you know, if that's the recommendation of the United Nations that you have a lot of community input, then it's one I would agree with.
Well, I'm at the UT School of Architecture, and this has been the assignment to all the major architecture schools for years to figure out a way to push massive density into the cities and into the small towns that they've chosen. And this particular thing is nothing but a Campo-related deal.
For more than 10 years, Campo and related entities have been pushing the larger sustainable development agenda as set out by the United Nations here in Central Texas. 1998. The Transportation Equity Act for the 21st Century, TEA 21, is enacted at a taxpayer cost of $218 billion for 6 years. The Smart Growth Initiative begins, and Austin, Texas hosts a national development conference. 1999, Central Texas Sustainability Indicators Project is launched. 2000, Capital Area Regional Transportation Planning Organization begins meeting. Transportation Excellence for the 21st Century, or TEX 21, implements T21 regionally. 2001, Envision Central Texas, ECT, and the Center for Sustainable Development, CSD, at University of Texas Austin are both founded. 2002, Envision Central Texas holds its first public workshops and gathers community input in 5 Texas counties. 2005, the Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, CAMPO, publishes its 2035 Regional Growth Concept Initiative. 2009, the Central Texas Green Print for Growth, a regional action plan for conservation and economic opportunity, is published by CAPCOG, the Trust for Public Land, and Envision Central Texas. 2010, the Capital Area Texas Sustainable Consortium receives a $3.7 million HUD grant, and the Sustainable Places Project begins. 2011, CAMPO releases a growth monitoring report spanning 2006 to 2010. 2012, Obama signs the $118 billion MAP 21, aka Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century, to continue the TEA 21 initiative. More recently, we've seen local communities pushing back across the map,
rejecting HUD grants, and refusing to participate in Agenda 21.
We've seen members of the community begin to ask their own questions and speak back and give their own spontaneous feedback, something we didn't see at the past meetings, and in some cases it was a heated exchange.
I own guns. I don't think they're going to take them.
We'll go back and catalog.
Please don't take my comments negative. I support you 100%, but I want to make sure that what you deliver is something that's acceptable to Griffey's brain.
They were actually standing up and interrupting their pre-scripted PowerPoint presentation with their clickers and their questions. I mean, we had one guy stand up and say, "This isn't cool. You've got four questions coming up, and all of the answers are bad. What do I do? I don't want any of these."
Was there an option on these four questions to vote none of the above? Otherwise, this community goes back with the idea that we want some of each of these four things in that area.
It was really throwing them off.
So what I would ask
is to go ahead and note that, and on the hard copy of the survey, we are collecting those, we are tabulating.
That's exactly what they're instructed to do. They're like, "Oh yeah, you write that on a post-it, we'll be sure and put it in the round file later."
But you're welcome just to grab a pen and a sticky note and give us ideas about things you'd like to see.
Effectively, the people in here, by making multiple choice questions in a limited range of options, have effectively endorsed some big effort to go build a high-density community, basically so that they can go back with a manipulated set of data that says the people of that community want this. Well, we didn't have a choice.
So to just give you a little bit of a rundown on how the KeyPath survey is going to work, all of the questions...
Why are these people here? You know, why do they bring technology with them to kind of do this? I've seen in so many projects around Texas for any kind of development, huge amounts of money spent in the planning stage.
Does this grant go to any actual physical development, or is it just planning?
It's planning.
The entire grant?
Yes.
Were you aware that the $3.7 million they were awarded for these grants doesn't go to any kind of actual development? It goes all in their pockets towards planning?
I figured, and I didn't realize it was so much money.
How much is your firm getting from this grant money?
We're subcontracted. I don't even know what the exact number is.
Okay.
It comes down to all the planners, and then our firm has a fraction of that. So it's a very small fraction of that.
True. No discussion about who's really going to make the decisions and what where the money is going to come from for doing this. And we're kind of moving into the Hunger Games kind of a community situation, right, where we pack ourselves into little communities. And I've seen the maps that the UN and the sustainable people put out with lots of little pinpoints around the map, lots of open space, and most of us here today live outside this community area, own homes that have, I've had property here for 45 years. So we have property that we like to be able to do with what we want.
Tonight we've definitely seen a lot of outspoken community members who were not ready to just pick choice A, B, C, or D, but actually wanted to be able to speak out and say what they felt about these planning meetings that are coming here.
Who are these anonymous groups driving this agenda who have the grant money? And you hear them wrapping up the meeting behind us, so we'll bring you more details on this report and future reports as they come along.
They're planning our future with, it doesn't seem like, a lot of input from us.
For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Melissa Melton.
And I'm Aaron Dykes.
Another in a great series of reports from Melissa Melton and Aaron Dykes exposing the cover-up of Agenda 21. And the people got a little feisty with them this time. They know who they are now. So when they show up to these meetings, those InfoWarriors, those people who like truth. So keep doing what you do, Melissa and Aaron. And now, if we could spin it around, I told Rob I didn't want to do this, but I'm doing it anyway. Now I get to throw to my report, my special breakdown reveal trailer for the new video game Black Ops 2. And Alex Jones is distracting me off camera with a camera. So let's throw to my report now. Okay, well, Al, come on in, Alex. Come on.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Time for freedom. Alex, we're gearing up for the money bomb. Do you have any special notes for our viewers that are watching right now, PrisonPlanet.tv?
No, I mean, you're just in here kicking butt, and I was going to take a photo and tweet it out to people to watch you on the news.
Yeah.
Here.
Man, I got to do something about this shiny head.
I got to do something about how I've lost some weight, but I need to get in good shape like you, man.
Looking Well, you're looking strong.
What are
looking
you doing
strong.
To stay in shape? Running?
Yeah, I'll run, do a few push-ups and sit-ups and all that. But anyway, Black Ops 2, check it out right now.
Black Ops 2. The sequel to the best-selling game of all time places the player in a year 2025 that isn't very far-fetched. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News. The original game was praised for its moderate historical accuracy. Let's analyze these new trailers to see if the same can be said for 2's dystopic future. Spoiler alert.
Unmanned armies, and no one ever asks. What happens when the enemy steals the keys?
Let's start with a look at future technologies.
Technology is stronger, but we are weaker.
Now, believe it or not, everything in that clip is in various stages of production or completion. Take the nuke. The Brookings Institute reports that over 67,000 nuclear missiles have been built since 1951, a conservative number. Next, the tilt-rotor vehicles. The Osprey V-22 has come a long way since George Lauberger patented the tilt-rotor design in 1930. The walking tank is making fast strides at DARPA, as is the Pegasus drone. And drones are already flying the U.S. skies, even though they're vulnerable to hacks, and the Pentagon admits that they do not trust their own robots. Call of Duty chose a different approach with their villain this time, a hacker.
People in America idolizing their hero has wiped them out.
Cyber attacks are constantly in the news, but what's often left on the cutting room floor is that organizations such as the FBI have used hackers for illegal activities. And the NSA doesn't need hackers because they can tap your phone without a warrant.
The enemy could be anywhere, and it could be anyone.
The voice in that last clip belongs to Oliver North, the man at the center of the Iran-Contra scandal, where he and others sold U.S. arms to a foreign country outside of U.S. law. But if you try to buy a few boxes of bullets, you may get a call from your local state police. At the Contra hearings, North was also questioned about continuity of government plans, also known as Rex 84. Let's take a look at this clip that exposes the cover-up.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area. So may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
A contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondering if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe it was.
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made when it
The cause of war in this game is the control of rare earth materials. Currently, China has a monopoly of over 95% of the materials.
We're bringing a new trade case against China. This case involves something called rare earth materials, which are used by American manufacturers to make high-tech products like advanced batteries that power everything from hybrid cars to cell phones.
It's time for the spoiler. At some point in the game, drones are hacked and attack the G20 summit in the year 2025, leaving the player to defend the U.S. president in a war-torn Los Angeles. So there you go. Give up all your rights and sign up for the internet ID, or Anonymous is going to team up with the Dos Equis man and start blowing stuff up. Black Ops 2 is scheduled for release in mid-November. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, so there you go. Some more propaganda for you. And I mean, I played the first Black Ops. Actually, if you guys remember my audition piece for InfoWars had the first Black Ops game in it. I don't have anything against violent video games or anything like that, but rampant propaganda. You see that one of the writers for The Dark Knight Rises, which Alex analyzed, actually was a writer in this as well. And they brought in Oliver North, like he's some respectable military guy, to tell you about the new 21st century war. You know, meanwhile, he has Rex 84 and Iran-Contra and a bunch of other stuff, a bunch of other skeletons rattling around in his closet. So, hey, those are your new role models, guys like Oliver North. So anyway, that brings us to our quote of the day. And this from RFK. Let's get into it right now. All of us will ultimately be judged on the effort we have contributed to building a new world order. That by Robert Kennedy. And I'm not trying to build a new world anything. Well, I guess I would like to see a new world that isn't full of corruption and greed and fascism and, you know, fake terrorism plots and all that stuff. But, you know, I guess I'm against Mr. RFK. So we go now to the money bomb. You guys know it's coming up. Everybody here is going to be pitching in and digging deep. I'll have an hour. I see Darren McBreen out there. He'll have an hour. Rob Dew will be in there for a little bit. You guys can tune in to my hour. I can at least tell you what I'll be talking about. I'll be with our firearms expert, Matt Williams, talking about all things Second Amendment. We're talking about guns, concealed carry, whatever. You guys are welcome to call in. I'll be on midnight. You can see my schedule right there. I'll be on Friday, 12 a.m. Don't confuse that with Friday, 12 p.m. You guys can call in, talk about guns and whatever's going on, whatever else concerns you guys have. And Dan Bedondi right there, action-packed, the Bionic Hour, the 3 hours of Bionic Dan. So definitely check out that. So check that out. We definitely need your support here at the InfoWars operation. It helps us expand. It not only brings in new talent, not just new reporters and graphics people, but we're expanding to a building across the street. It pays for our bandwidth, which is a monstrous amount, and just whatever other things we need to keep this operation going forward. And in addition to the money bomb, you guys can stop by prisonplanet.tv, pick up a subscription. It gives you all the archives for the nightly news, the Alex Jones radio show, rants off Alex's movies, everything you need, ebooks. So check that out. And also stop by the InfoWars shop. We have the new magazine out, which we'll actually be showing you a few videos of here in just a second, some time-lapse videos. Alex sent us out with a mission to do some time-lapse videos at the Austin city limits. We met some colorful characters out there. I haven't seen anybody else. Well, I saw Rob Dews, and his was pretty good, but I can't vouch for anybody else's. But mine, I got to meet a guy who said Alex was COINTELPRO. So you guys definitely look out for that video. And after this break, we'll be back with Rob Dew and his interview. And after that, I'll be back with Mr. Darren McBreen. So let's take a look at some of those Austin City Limits InfoWars Magazine's videos right now.
Magazine?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Magazine,
miss?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
all right.
All
you got. Oh, this is maybe a glossy cover, huh?
Oh, yeah. Free magazine, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, for you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, man. Check it out. Sir?
Oh, it's
yeah.
Dude, are you with this thing?
Yeah.
Are you with Alex Jones?
Alex Jones.
Okay. He contradicts himself every day. Alex Jones is doing COINTELPRO. He works for the CIA. And the Fed, he does. He's a Fed.
Now we hear this often. I'm interested. What's your take?
Here. Well, I'll tell you.
He could be. Okay.
I don't think he's CIA. I think he's just an entertainer.
Okay.
He contradicts himself every day. FEMA camps and all that, you know. And hey, look, the caskets are over here.
Do you recognize anything as a FEMA camp? Do you recognize the existence of any of them?
I'm less worried about it. Alex could be getting a list of everybody who's a potential risk that are going to go into those FEMA camps.
Okay.
He contradicts himself every day. Or look what he did to the Occupy people. He's nothing but a tension monger. It's not about Alex.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't happening.
He talked about the Occupy movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said Alex Jones did. What's the Occupy movement?
Well, it wasn't the Occupy. It was a group that was out trying to do something, and I got to remember.
Okay.
He contradicts himself every day.
Free newspaper? Anybody? Free newspaper? Thank you. Paper man, you like a free newspaper?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Who controls the past? Controls the future. Who controls the present? Controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All you gotta do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
MoneyBomb.com. We just expanded next door. We're coming for the New World Order.
Ah! Get
over it! It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world.
Here's freedom.
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to read our mission and to see the amazing roster of guests we've got lined up sharing their insights on liberty and resistance to tyranny. I got involved in radio and TV as well as filmmaking 17 years ago because I didn't like the direction I saw our country and our world going in. The attacks on basic freedoms like the Second Amendment, the move towards collectivism and the nanny state. And over the last decade and a half, InfoWars.com and my radio show and the films have become really part of the core resistance to tyranny worldwide. It seems like yesterday, but it was more than 5 years ago that I was sitting in my small office of about 3,000 square feet and realized that we were already reaching millions of people a week and that we had a responsibility to expand our operations in the face of the globalists. It was listeners 5 years ago that demanded we have a money bomb and expand our operations. We've gone from less than 10 crew members to more than 50 today. 5 years ago, I was reaching about 3 million people a week. Now it's 15 million a week, conservatively. Imagine what will happen if you just tell one person a day about InfoWars.com or our news reports that are online. Imagine what will happen if you donate just $5 or $10 to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and allow us to go to the next level and put the nightly news out on free-to-air satellite worldwide. No, that one action won't save the world, but it will trigger brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere that will bring down the globalist and restore humanity on the right path of justice and liberty and a level playing field. We have a choice. The globalist dark age of control freak technocracy or 1776 worldwide. This October 18th and 19th, from Thursday morning right through into Saturday morning, it's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world. I'll see you live with the free video and audio streams emanating from PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. I'm Alex Jones, defending liberty, resisting tyranny.
Welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Rob Dew, and this is the interview section of the program. Thanks to Jakari Jackson for doing the news. I hope you guys have enjoyed watching all the new reporters sit in the big chair and present the news and give out their views as well. And after this segment, Jakari is going to be joining Darren McBreen in the studio, and they're going to go over this whole riot talk that has been permeating through the news, through the social networks and Twitters, and talk about, you know, where we're going to go, and could this be another situation where if Obama loses, are we going to have another L.A. riot? But in the meantime, we're going to talk about a subject that I've been interested in, and a few of the people in the office, including one Rob Jacobson, he's the other Rob in the studio. We are big into alternative energy. We talk about it. We have beers over it. We discuss it. We have heated debates over what's real and what's possible and what's impossible. And we're about to talk to Sterling Allen, who is the editor of PeswiKi, PESWIKI.com. And it is an amazing resource. If you're interested in new energy systems that are actually about to come to market, coming to fruition, he's got a top five energy sites in there, and it's really amazing. And one of the ones we're going to start off with is Andrea Rossi, who's got some really amazing stuff coming. So without further ado, let's turn to Sterling Allen. Sterling, how you doing?
Hi, Rob. Great to be on your show.
It's great to have you on. So glad you reached out to us, contacted us. I really want to get to the bottom of this because I really believe, as you do, that the next great human revolution and evolution starts with getting alternative energy that is not controlled, that is more of a leveling of the playing field, so to speak. So why don't you tell us why you got into this and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, first I want to compliment you and team there at InfoWars. You guys are doing an amazing job. I'm really excited to see your explosion of growth, both in your reach as well as the staff on the people who are coming in and serving as anchors, bringing a lot more variety. I really love it. I've been a follower for a long time. I woke up about the same time Alex did, and I've been out there beating the bushes and trying to make a difference in the planet. And for the last decade, I've shifted my focus to renewable energy, free energy technologies, as I call them. Because when I say free energy, I'm not talking about stuff you don't have to pay for. I'm talking about things that the environment gives us free for the taking. Solar's free, wind is free, geothermal is free. And obviously the devices that harvest those are not free. But we focus in on the exotic free energy technologies. You might call the ones I just mentioned mainstream, and the ones that I focus on are the fringe or the alternative, the outside-the-box stuff. And as Alex pointed out, as well as Gerald Celente in 2010, those mainstream technologies, R2 energy, what mainstream medicine and mainstream news is to news and medicine. You guys know they're very corrupt, and they're not going to be providing much of a solution. They're kind of a half-baked answer to what we really need. And these things that are outside the box are the ones that really have the promise to not only provide clean energy, but do it at a price point that is not only affordable, but cheaper than what you get from the grid. Makes us independent from the grid, enables us to basically stick it to the man, become basically render the powers that be obsolete so we don't need them anymore. It's a great way to have a peaceful revolution and bring about a fundamental change in the way we do things and empowering the individual and giving power back to the people, so to speak, and out of the hands of the corrupt powers that be, the 1% that they talk about, those ruling elite who have been just totally running haphazard over all constitutional and other principles, establishing a world tyranny. Free energy is one of the best ways, if not the best way, to do an end run around the powers that be.
I agree, and that's why you don't see this stuff just shooting out into the media like you do other types of stories that get out there. Although we did see, and I got this off your site, Andrea Rossi's Black Box by Popular Science, and it goes
yesterday.
Over. Yeah, that came out. That came out today.
Yesterday.
Right. And basically it goes into Rossi's cold fusion process. Why don't you go in a little bit about Rossi and how he got contacted, and now finally we're seeing that breaking of the third, fourth wall going into mainstream media.
Sure. And it's really exciting, in my opinion, what's going on. Is we're seeing a gradual shifting in the mainstream where their coverage is not so cynical or not so skeptical, but it's still quite rare that we get mainstream coverage. And even this story out of Popular Science, I think the reason they let it run is because the author comes across as a skeptic. But in my opinion, the author really wanted this stuff to be true, had kind of a bad experience, but at the bottom line is that he saw something real, and that comes through in his writing in the area of cold fusion, that the mainstream academia, as an act of, a criminal act in my opinion, in 1989 when it first came out by Pons and Fleischmann, they did a total slam job, and the hot fusion people who had a vested interest in the technology, they're getting billions of dollars from the government, part of the corporate control of energy. They basically gave the label of junk science to cold fusion, which has stuck and made it academic suicide for anyone in academia to pursue it, talk about it. If you have a patent that even hints at cold fusion, you don't get the patent awarded. I have friends that work at the patent office who can confirm that. There have been thousands of patents, that and others, that have been denied or shelved. A national security order issued on them. There's huge suppression in free energy. But you know what, Rob? I like to focus not on the suppression, but on the hope that comes when people don't have fear and they just move ahead with no fear, because the bully, the way he has control over people is through fear. That's why they did 911. That's why they do these other false flag operations, is to scare the pants off of us so that we, you know, cower down and let them kind of, you know, come in and dominate us. If we have no fear, they lose power. And that's been my approach in the decade that I've been tracking this stuff as an obsession almost. Every waking hour I'm focused on this stuff at a great sacrifice, trying to bring notice to these things and help bring attention to them. Andrew Rossi is out there in the lead in cold fusion. Last January 14th, he did a press conference in Bologna, Italy, where he announced, that was January 14th, 2011, He had a demonstration of a multiple kilowatt, we're talking around 12 kilowatt system, and in this press conference that was being signed off by professors and other academics on site, and that was kind of his cannonball splash coming into public awareness. And ever since then, there's been a real gathering in the alternative media. The mainstream media kind of took a peek and they kind of said, it couldn't be. And they basically just deep sixed it, threw it in the trash can. That's basically the status they took, is they basically ignored it as being, oh, that's junk science. We all know that. Let's go somewhere else. Ignore that, everybody. And that's the status they've been taking. The Salt Lake, or the Utah media where Pons and Fleischman came out of had been completely silent on the issue of cold fusion and on Andrew Rossi. The only coverage they've given of cold fusion of any of the mainstream media in Utah, where they should be talking about this stuff, if anywhere, because that's where Pons and Fleischman came from, is to say, you know, just as a follow-up, they don't even give that much. They don't give any coverage whatsoever, except when Fleischman died a couple months ago, they did two or three stories. One of them was actually had a good paragraph in it. Somebody actually took some time to interview me on it, and they had some positive coverage. That was it.
Yeah, those guys actually made the cover of Time magazine at one point for their cold fusion experiments that couldn't be reproduced correctly. And what I think is amazing, I actually heard an urban legend that Rossi put out a kind of bet saying, if anybody can disprove what I've proven here, I'll pay you $10,000. And then he was able to get other scientists to join him. Is that true? Is that a true story?
That might be getting confused with Storm, which is another one in our top five.
Okay.
I don't remember Andrew Rossi doing that. He is a very interesting person. His approach basically is the academic world has had their chance, and they've blown it.
Right.
He's going to have his technology proven by bringing it to the market and making it available for sale. And actually, you can actually purchase a 1 megawatt unit right now for delivery in 3 to 6 months. And they're manufacturing these things. I saw a 1 megawatt unit in operation in Bologna, Italy, on October 28, 2011, last year. The thing self-ran for 5.5 hours so that it was producing enough heat to keep itself running while producing energy. They ran it at half power because of, they really were going gangbusters to try and get this thing up and running on a deadline, and they had people coming in. And anyway, they had a choice either to go 1 megawatt without self-running, so they had an input source and then an output, or they could run it half power in self-loop mode, and the customer chose to go with the latter.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. And I'm not saying that, you know, we were able to witness it, each one of us that were there, about 20, 30 of us from around the world who were at that event. And it's not like we were able to, you know, be there from beginning to end. We had about 5-minute segments. It was a safety issue. This is a nuclear device. And the safety commission basically kind of let them slide by a rule by letting us come in at 5-minute intervals, and everyone else, the scientists that were there to sign off on it, they were there the full time for the customer, but those of us that were observing only had short little glimpses of it. But we were able to receive the report from the customer, who at the end gave the numbers and said, we're happy, we like what we saw, and we're on board.
Well, and just for the layman there, what could 1 megawatt power? I mean, how many devices could you power with that?
Sure. A megawatt, just roughly speaking, is a small locomotive. Now, this is steam in this case, and so obviously you have to convert that to, you know, turbines, generators, and whatnot. But that gives you an idea of how much power that is. That's a lot of power.
Very interesting. And so he's going to be producing devices that are going to be up, you know, what, in 6 months, ready to market?
No, well, the one megawatt is available now. It's not that he's shipping them now. He's taking orders and building and assembling them now.
Okay.
There's one that's supposed to be finished and installed in Italy, northern Italy, any week now, that will be able for new customers to go in, see, kick the tires, so to speak, before they purchase one. Because right now, the customer's confidential military interest, that they can't say who it is, where it is. But this new customer in Italy, they will be able to go in and see it. And that's supposed to be ready pretty soon. So that will be very exciting when that happens. He's involved in basically three approaches. One is the 1 megawatt unit. Another is a home unit for home heating, culinary purposes, and the certifications on that are taking a long time, because when you have something in a home, people are getting drunk and doing stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more different than in an industrial setting where the safety standards are much higher and people are much more professional. So you don't have nearly as rigorous of process. They did get the safety certification on the 1 megawatt unit, but not yet on the home unit. And that's, we don't know when that's going to happen. So it could be a year, could be 6 months, could be 18 months, don't know. But the thing that's really exciting, the one that we were just talking about is in the region of, like, you know, 200 300 degrees Celsius, which isn't that hot. You can't produce electricity very well with that. But in the last about 6 months, they've developed what's called a hot cat, where it gets up to like 1,000 degrees Celsius. You need to have at least 600 degrees Celsius to turn, to produce steam, to turn turbine, make electricity very efficiently. And they achieved that hallmark. And they've been testing, doing the refinements and getting this thing tested, proven, optimized. And that thing is probably going to be making the biggest splash in terms of a really practical device that can be used for all kinds of energy, including heat and electricity. So these guys are number two in our top five.
I see that. And number one, you have Confidential. What does that mean on your list? I just pulled that off your website.
Yeah, that inventor is actually, I'm here in the UK right now at a bed and breakfast, just not far from the inventor, and I'm going to be here for 10 days. We're taking data. It's very exciting. What we see so far, the data that I personally have taken, where I've sat down with a pen and paper and instruments to read, the measurements coming off this device, and I've been, basically, it's me and the inventor, just one test after another, the thing blew a gasket, so to speak, and actually made a huge dent in the wall, Sunday when I showed up. Luckily no one was hurt. When they're standing in the way, it made like a 3-inch dent in the wall.
Wow.
So this is fairly well engineered too. So, we've got to have that fixed, got it back on, today and tomorrow. We had to do one little. So, it's really been interesting to be involved in this process. All I can say about that one, I can say a bit about it.
Well, what type of unit is it? Is it a nuclear unit? Is it electromagnetic?
No. It's a force multiplier system, and okay. This is something that's so flippin' simple that when it comes out, people will be having a hard time believing it because it's so simple. They'll think, if this was true, somebody would have come up with it by now. It's so easy. And this is something which he's actually, I had a meeting with two of his lawyers yesterday. Or attorneys, I guess they call them. There's a difference, and I'm not sure what that difference is, but we're going to be doing the possibility that if we meet a certain criteria, he's willing to open source it. He wants to raise a certain minimum amount through crowdfunding so he can get a laboratory so he doesn't just, piss away his, a lot of work he's put into this.
Right.
He's been at it 17 years, 4 years full time, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And, he owes a lot of people small loans that have helped him get to this point. And he doesn't believe in open source like I do. So he wants to basically say, he wants to give us an opportunity to open it up to crowdfunding. If we can get enough people to say, yeah, we believe in you and we'll help you build your laboratory, then he will be under contract to let us open source it. He wants to see a couple of contracts, licensees come to the table first.
Mm-hmm.
This is a technology which, according to the numbers, the math on this is straightforward math, actually. It's not convoluted rocket science kind of stuff. It's not PhD level required to even understand it. This is something that you could explain to a kindergartner and they would be able to understand it. Not the math, but the general concept. And this is something that there would be, one person in every town on the planet, including in Africa, who has enough smarts to pull resources from the local community, take parts from a car, take parts from this, part from that, and hobble something together, make a 5-kilowatt system.
Wow, that's very impressive.
So this is home power capability using off-the-shelf, slapping hob. And it's a general, once people start replicating this and start, coming up with the different iterations of it, and you can use this, you can try this, and you get more power if you do that. And in Australia, you can get your parts from here. Once it goes open source, basically we're talking about an end run around the powers that be, because now everyone has the ability to create jobs, create power, cheap power from stuff that we have around. Even if the powers that be are able to be successful in bringing around this economic collapse that they've been engineering for decades, and they're so close to getting achieving their goal. And that's one of the reasons I'm really glad to come on your show, because we've got to get the message out to patriots that we've got to drumbeat this message of free energy's on its way, because depression is not just an economic situation, it's an attitude of the heart. And if we can get people to realize that solutions are really close, even if they might not appear this year, if it might be a few months out, just knowing that it's on its way provides a hope factor that can help people lift up their chin, get out of the doldrums, get out of depression, and just kind of bide the time and not go on these riots and looting and just, all the world's ending, so we might as well just, you know, piss it away.
Yeah, exactly. There is a lot of hope out there, and I can see it, and just going through your site and just, you know, your attitude about it is just, this is a peaceful revolution to put out ideas. I like the open sourcing because it lets other people innovate, because that's what made America great too, is just the massive amount of innovation that would come about. But putting stuff out on a worldwide scale and just letting people, you know, tweak this, add a little bit of that, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's energy devices being made in every town, you know, in the country. Like you said, in small villages in Africa, they're able to produce their own power. It makes them, you know, be able to get off the grid, so to speak, and not be dependent. Because that's where they control us, is by making us dependent on electricity, on water, everything. They try to make us dependent to the system. And by breaking free of that, that's where we will see our true power unfold itself and manifest.
Yeah, and fearful. See, this stuff takes away the fear. This is empowering. If you can create your own energy, you can grow your own food. You don't have to be beholden to these guys. If you can make an energy device that powers a house from the junker sitting in the back of your house, that's pretty empowering.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. When do you think you're going to be putting out this information?
I don't know, because, you know, there's a lot of variables here. Mm-hmm. You know, how quickly are people going to step up to the plate? When they put that thing out about building the Tesla Museum, they raised $1 million in 1 week through crowdfunding. If we could pull something like that off, then it could go fast. In our contract, we're going to have 80 days from the time we start to open the crowdfunding to raise £500,000. And if we can raise that, then he is contractually obligated to open source. But first, before we start the crowdfunding, we need to bring at least two licensees to the table. And so that's kind of some give and take that we talked about yesterday. I wanted to go directly to crowdfunding and open source if possible, but I could see why he wants to have some stability there. And also, having licensees on the table will help bring the credibility that we'll need, because we can't say much about this. We can't show pictures. Because once somebody walks in the room and sees it, they're going to know how it works.
Wow.
And once they realize that it does work, this is going to be like, think of gunpowder. When gunpowder, think about how much that changed everything. Just the invention of gunpowder and all the things we were able to do with that. This is a paradigm shift, a new concept that will open up an entire new area of science that we have overlooked for centuries. This is so flippin' simple.
Well, and I guess if people want to get involved, they could just go to your website and contact you, and you'll get them the proper channels.
Yeah, we have a newsletter. The best domain name, by the way, for people to remember is freeenergynews.com. That forwards to pezwiki.com.
Okay.
That you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Freeenergynews.com, you know, I've been the Free Energy News guy for a decade. We have a great news and directory service, as you mentioned. Appreciate your plug there. But we have at the top right, there's a little place where you can subscribe to our newsletter. Or you can put us in your favorites and check us up from time to time. And I hope we can come on your show from time to time and give you guys updates about what's going on here as we come across some of these major milestones. And by the way, I want to plug your money bomb tomorrow. You guys, I've contributed in the past. We put links to it in our news. We do off-topic stuff sometimes. We talk about GMO. We talk about cloud. Chemtrailing. We cover all. We try and keep it focused on clean energy. But once in about two or three, I'd say a couple times a week, we throw something in there about conspiracy stuff and link to stuff that you guys have. We have a pretty extensive page on InfoWars and on conspiracy at Pez Wiki. So. It's all part of the package, because the conspiracy is what this stuff, this is an anecdote or antidote to the conspiracy.
Right. They're holding us down, wanting us to be dependent on them. And this is the type of stuff, the stuff that you're studying, that you're covering right now, I mean, is really what could take, you know, humanity to the next level. Let's move on to the third one. We're going on the top five of exotic free energy technologies. If anybody's following along at home, you can read along with us. We're going to the motor generator self-loop with usable energy left over. Does this have a name? Or it seems like it needs an acronym or something.
Yeah, I've come up with QMOGEN. Q is the letter Q has a little circle with a line through it. Uh-huh. It has the idea of self-loop with energy left over. So this is one is crazy. But before I talk about this, I want to give a caveat here.
Okay.
As I've been tracking this stuff for a decade, you get what's called breakthrough burnout, where you think something's just a few months away or maybe a year away, and then a year later it's still 18 months, you know, now it's 18 months away, or now it's 9 months instead of a year away. It's just like this perpetual, never arriving thing. I mean, when I started this back a decade ago, I thought we were a few months away. And you know, it's been that way all along. I also thought destruction was a few months away as well. You know, the number of things that we thought were going to come, whether it was, you know, Nibiru or whatever it is, the next false flag operation. There's so many different ways that we could come to destruction. And I'm grateful that we've had the time that we have, but you know, it's really exciting because as these things come out, these new energy technologies, and there are tons of them, by the way. I mean, our top five just scratches the surface of these things that are materializing. The caveat is this. You have to be careful to not let your expectations get up too high. I get really excited about this. I'm kind of a cheerleader more than a journalist. I'm rooting for these guys. I want them to win. I believe before I'm a skeptic. Somebody comes along with a story. I put up on my news. I say, this guy says he's got such and such, and he's got, here's the video, and it looks pretty interesting. And then we, you know, kind of, suss it out, so to speak, do some vetting, and sometimes it stays there. Like the Rossi thing's been right there front and center for a year and a half now. It's possible that I missed something here, and there's some data, and I'm just misinterpreting things, and I think I see something, and it's not, you know, it's still fairly early in its development. It's not, this particular, the one in number one position is not self-looped yet. It can be self-looped. I'm confident of that because of the data that we're seeing, but that takes money, it takes time, it takes expertise, it takes some engineering. And we want to get this stuff moving. And so we're coming here saying, here's the data for the people, the licensees to come forward. Here's what you can look at. And if they're interested, they come in. This next technology is, you know, I overlooked this one for quite a while because it's a story and a half. You picture a small motor turning a big generator, and the generator produces enough power to loop back and keep the motor going and produce extra energy left over. That's why I call it Q for the self-loop with energy left over, mm-hmm. QMOGEN, because, you know, I've had a number of people come to me with these things, and so many of them now, it's like I can't ignore it. And Phyllis, I mean, from a scientific point of view, at first blush, you say, well, that's impossible to you. That's lifting yourself up by your own bootstrap. But actually, there is some scientific explanation as to what may be going on here. In these two, the DC motor, for example, AC generator, maybe there's some phase angle stuff that goes on. You get some harmonics going on, and the harmonics, like, bring in this extra energy from outside of the system, and that's the quote free energy from the environment that it harnesses so that this small motor can power a big generator with energy left over and keep itself running. Let me tell you an anecdote. I had a guy from India who is scouting technologies on behalf of the chief minister of his country, and he flew to Salt Lake City to meet with me to see a technology that I know about in Salt Lake. And we sat in his hotel room, and he showed me a video of a system that they have in India, which is the same thing that I just described. 1.5 kilowatts driving 5.7.5 kilowatts, keeping the 1.5 kilowatt system running while producing 5.5 usable energy, which they ran for 50 hours, powering stuff in their shop continuously before the belt started smoking. There were some engineering issues. They're taking that thing to market in India. He showed me that video, and the next morning, independently, I got an email from somebody about a company in Spain called Techno Control, where control is spelled with a K, that does the same thing. They show the videos on their website. This is a company that is a credible company that's been selling products for years, primarily fire suppression. And you go to their products link, and you get this little drop-down menu that fills the page of some 50 products. And over here on the left-hand side, there's a couple of links for this TK5000 generator. You click on that, and it talks about the self-loop system that doesn't take any energy to keep it going, doesn't take fuel. It basically keeps running, producing power. They show these videos over here. You can click on the videos. It shows them running, powering stuff. And I got that the next morning, not even 24 hours after seeing this video of this guy over in India. And then I started thinking about the people that I know and started asking around and, you know, talked to Peter Lindemann, talked to Carl Paulsness, and what do you think about this? And it's like, yeah, I think there could be something there. So we put up this feature page, and we've been tracking this really carefully. And one of the guys in that, actually from Indonesia, that we just found out about last week and put a story up about him, put up a feature page, he's willing to open source his technology. And there's another guy who's willing to open source it. So we may be getting some instructions on this, and we've got a little form that we started to for people to share ideas and to do the replications and ask the questions and come up with the plans. By the way, when you do open sourcing, that doesn't mean, I'm talking to the inventors right now who might have stuff like this, that doesn't mean you're just giving it away to the planet, because what we do is we put up the plans and we say there's a caveat. The inventor's willing to give this to the planet, but if you do anything commercial, well, it's whether it's selling plans, selling kits, selling components, selling finished units, selling licensees, selling, you know, going manufacturing, anything that you're, where you're receiving money for what you're doing that's commercial, we want a royalty, whether it's 5%, 10%, and then we split that with the inventor. We have an agreement with the inventor that we split part of it so we can cover our administrative costs, help promote these other technologies. So basically we're asking for an honor system. And Rob, I want to ask you a question. I'm putting you on the spot here.
Uh-huh.
What do you think is a, you know people, you know the good, bad, and the ugly, and you guys cover a lot of really bad news, but you also know there's some really cool people on the planet, especially in the sector that we're talking about. People who want to create jobs, people who want to come up with solutions for the little guy, not the big guy, not these big corporations who come in and, you know, want to see your patent and want to, you know, go into the license and lock you up in a monopoly or in an exclusive relationship for 5 years or whatever.
I call those innovation bulldozers, by the way. That's
yeah.
What they are.
Yeah, and we're with crowdfunding, it basically makes energy democratic. It makes invention democratic, so people can actually vote for their solutions with their with a little bit of money up to, and starting next year, they'll actually able to invest in a company up to $2,000 without having to go through all the rigmarole. But anyway, in this open sourcing idea that we're talking about, what ratio do you think is a reasonable number that people will actually do the right thing and pay the royalty? They download the plans, they build the thing, they have one power in their house, no problem, don't have to pay anything. But if you start selling them to your neighbors and you're making some revenue there, send 10% or 5%, whatever the royalty is that the inventor wants, send it off to the inventor. How many people do you think will do that worldwide?
Oh, I think easily 10 million.
I'm talking about percentage wise.
Oh, percentage wise. Yeah, I was just trying to put a number on it. There's 7 billion people. I mean, I think you're always going to have people who are going to take it and not do it. And you'll catch them sooner or later. You know, it's just like people who take videos and duplicate them and send them out. Although we tell people to do it with our stuff, because we want the information out there. But I think the majority will opt into the system and know that it's for the betterment of humanity, and by receiving something, they need to give something in return. And, I would say 70%.
70%.
Yeah.
You know, I think I would agree with you on that. And I think your guys' operation is a good example of that, because you do give a lot of stuff away. I watch your YouTube videos, and I'm sending links to people and encouraging them to subscribe to your feed and stuff. And you know, we post links to some of the products that you guys talk about. And so you guys are growing your process. Not that you're rich driving around in BMWs, but you guys are surviving. You guys have an income from doing this work that you love. What do you have, 50 people on staff now?
About that, yeah. It's grown a lot since I've been here. I got here in 2009 and right before Obama deception.
Look at how much stuff you guys give out. Yeah. I mean, that's, and so that's a lesson. That's a case in point to the inventors out there who are skittish about giving their tech, to open sourcing their technology, where you're asking that people do the right thing and remit a royalty. Not everyone can, not everyone will, but enough will that you'll get enough to stay alive. You'll be able to pay your bills. You'll be able to build your research lab. You'll be able to go into production. And I'm guessing you'll probably do better than most of the people who are in the mainstream who do it the normal way.
Sure. If you hold out and wait for the giant boys to come along, first they're going to pick you clean with lawyers and all this other stuff. And then if you're, it's like going to, I've done music. I never made it to a big level, but I've sold some CDs and I made more money selling 1,000 CDs than I would have if I would have sold 100,000 through a big company. And it's just because when you keep it local, there's, you know, less overhead going to the giant pyramid that isn't doing anything for you, essentially. Yeah. So yeah. I think if people put the stuff out there, there's going to be enough responsible people who will see, you know, the value in that and will contribute to it to keep it going, because that is where, you know, people don't want to destroy themselves. Most people don't. And technology like this is going to empower and free us. And I'm totally on board with it. I would love to see it happen. I would love to see it happen 10 years ago, 20 years ago, like you said. And it's, I'm surprised that we're not at that point yet. And it is because these are disruptive technologies that if they come out there on the market, there's no reason for General Motors or Exxon to come up with self-loop generators that produce their own energy. There's no reason for it.
It makes themselves obsolete.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they're smart people. They realize that. But we have to be smarter in terms of the way we get our information out and, you know, use the web while it's still there, because we may not have this web. If this stuff goes out, they may throw a switch and say, we can't have everybody building their own, electric generators. Boom. Then all of a sudden there's a cyber attack where everything must be shut down and controlled and cordoned off. And, you know, I can see that happening in this situation, because this is the type of disruptive technology that really does change the way things are done. It changes the game on all levels.
One thing I want to address here that I like to talk about when we have opportunities like this, I believe that we, just as we get the government we deserve, And our government is a reflection of the people, also we get the energy that we deserve. And one of the reasons we don't have free energy yet is because people are not yet to the state of enough enlightenment and awakeness. But once we get that turning point, and I think we're getting close as the powers that be are bringing us close to hitting the wall with this addiction to oil, this addiction to the corrupt powers that be and their mainstream everything that's totally corrupt. Once we hit that wall and wake up, and we could hit the wall, I would like to see us see the handwriting on the wall, wake up before that so we don't destroy our infrastructure, so it makes it easier for us to rally, to wake up. But once people wake up, then we'll be ready for free energy, because I personally believe that these exotic free energy technologies are a blessing to mankind that we are close to deserving, but we're not there yet. And we've got to get the patriot community to stop thinking of clean energy as a liberal cause. It's not. It is a freedom cause. You look at the people in our audience, and they are hardcore freedom advocates for the most part, 80%, 85%.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think where you see a lot of people clinging to, like coal energy and oil energy, they're going, this is affordable at this point. Solar energy, wind energy is not affordable on a scale to give people the type of energy to do the things we do in this modern society. And so you see people clinging to those, saying, look, we can't touch these until we have something else in place. And so what you get is, people aren't going to give that up until they see the golden egg, quote unquote, that energy source out there that's going to come along. And, you know, it's going to happen small. And then the internet, hopefully, if it's still around, will give people the impetus to I think, proliferate these things. But I agree. We get the energy we deserve. And you know what? We've gone a little bit over the time that we wanted to spend. We try to keep our show about an hour a night. Of course, we go over a lot. But we definitely want to have you back up, Sterling. We didn't even get to finish the top five. But if anybody wants to read that, they could go to Top 5 Exotic Free Energy Technologies on PezWiki.com. And we're going to have you back up again.
Top5Energy.com is a shortcut. Top5Energy.com, either the number or the spelling, Top5Energy.com. We'll forward you to that.
Gotcha. Top5Energy.com. I spent hours on the site, and I don't even think I scratched the surface on it. There's so much I don't know about general electricity that I would like to learn. And so it's pretty interesting reading about all this stuff. You know, it gives you a lot of what-if scenarios. And I appreciate that you're out there kind of on the watchtower for free energy, for this energy that is going to take us to the next level. So we salute you for doing that, and we hope to talk to you in the future.
Thank you, Rob. Good luck on your money bomb tomorrow.
All right. Thanks a lot. I'm going to replay some excerpts of this on the money bomb tomorrow. Well, I'm going to go on Friday. It starts tomorrow. I'll be going on from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Friday morning, and I'm going to have a few guests. I'm going to play a little bit of this interview, and it's really interesting. If you want to see more on – it's a pretty interesting video. You can get it at our store. It's called Thrive. Sterling is not in it, and I actually thought he was because the producer and director of this, Foster Gamble, mentioned Sterling Allen to us a while back. And, you know, we get busy. I forget about things, and Sterling reached out to me a few weeks ago and was wanting, you know, said, hey, you know, I'm here. I'm ready to come on and talk about free energy. And, you know, very interesting conversation. There is a lot of stuff out there that we don't know about. There's a lot of cool technology. We didn't even get into Tesla, which is, and, you know, he threw a little bit about the Tesla Museum. But a lot of this comes from, you know, Nikola Tesla. A lot of what people are using now, a lot of his technology was stolen and lost, and we don't even know where it's at. But there's reports of him, you know, coming out in little hover cars, pulling electricity out of thin air, shooting it across vast areas. And there's a story where he showed a demonstration and said, we could pull energy right out of the air. And all of a sudden his backers said, no, we don't want that. And they just basically turned him into a pauper. And but AC current was invented by Tesla. It wasn't invented by Thomas Edison. He invented DC current. So go check out PezWiki, PESWIKI.com. And any inventors out there, if you've got your technologies, I guess send them Sterling's way, and he will vet them. He does do a pretty good vetting job. I was looking at the questions he's asking. He's not ready to just jump in just because something comes along and they produce a pretty good YouTube video. He's not ready to jump in and say, oh, this is the one. He actually does do his vetting. But this information is getting out there, and it's great to see. We're going to go to break. We're going to play two more videos from our inner office video contest that Alex threw out on Friday of people passing out the new Glossy InfoWars Glossy magazine, which is right here. If you want to get a subscription, you can go to InfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or InfoWarsShop.com and check that out. And we'll be back after this break. We've got Darren McBreen and Jakari Jackson in studio talking about the possibility of riots coming to this country. It's happened before, and it could happen again. It's called pressure from above and pressure from below. So we'll be right back after this message. Thanks.
Free Magazine? Find out what the Defense Department's up to? There you go. Like a Free Magazine?
Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
You want this?
I support
Find out what the Defense Department's doing. Yeah, sure. This is the new glossy.
I agree. This. I work okay. here all day. I don't want to trade
Great.
All around. Yeah, thank
sure.
you.
Sure, no problem.
Appreciate your work.
Oh, thank you.
You.
Thank you.
I'm say hi to
Thanks.
Alex first.
Will do. Run of this and the first magazine were all newsprint.
Okay.
This is glossy. It's like a Free Magazine. How about you?
Nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
MoneyBomb.com. We just expanded next door. We're coming for the New World Order. Ah!
Yeah! It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world.
Here's freedom.
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to read our mission and to see the amazing roster of guests we've got lined up, sharing their insights on liberty and resistance to tyranny. I got involved in radio and TV as well as filmmaking 17 years ago because I didn't like the direction I saw our country and our world going in. The attacks on basic freedoms like the Second Amendment, the move towards collectivism and the nanny state. And over the last decade and a half, InfoWars.com and my radio show and the films have become really part of the core resistance to tyranny worldwide. It seems like yesterday, but it was more than 5 years ago that I was sitting in my small office of about 3,000 square feet and realized that we were already reaching millions of people a week and that we had a responsibility to expand our operations in the face of the globalists. It was listeners 5 years ago that demanded we have a money bomb and expand our operations. We've gone from less than 10 crew members to more than 50 today. 5 years ago, I was reaching about 3 million people a week. Now it's 15 million a week conservatively. Imagine what will happen if you just tell one person a day about InfoWars.com or our news reports that are online. Imagine what will happen if you donate just $5 or $10 to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and allow us to go to the next level and put the nightly news out on free-to-air satellite worldwide. No, that one action won't save the world, but it will trigger brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere that will bring down the globalist and restore humanity on the right path of justice and liberty and a level playing field. We have a choice. The globalist dark age of control freak technocracy or 1776 worldwide. This October 18th and 19th, from Thursday morning right through into Saturday morning, it's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world. I'll see you live with the free video and audio streams emanating from PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. I'm Alex Jones, defending liberty, resisting tyranny.
Welcome back. Our guest now is Mr. Darren McBreen, somebody who was actually there during the L.A. riots. And we bring up this riot topic because we have Obama supporters saying they're going to riot should Mitt Romney be elected. And, you know, a lot of these are just kids with too much free time on their hands. But, you know, some of these may be valid threats. And to that, we turn now to Mr. Darren McBreen. How are you doing tonight, Darren?
Doing good. Good to be here.
Yeah. All right. So, Darren, you were actually there for the L.A. riots. Tell us, you know, what happened and what actually prompted you to be there at that moment that the riots were taking place.
I was kind of drove past the riots, okay, if you will. So I was coming back from the L.A. Civic Center. So I was never in really any danger. But what happened is I'll never forget it. Is I noticed a fire off the side of the freeway. A building was burning, and before long, I noticed another fire, and then soon after that, another fire. So
you're like, what's going on out here?
What was going on? I turned on the radio and got news that a riot was spreading. There was a weird aura in the air. I mean, people were driving more violently than normal, and I wanted to get the hell out of there, and luckily traffic wasn't too bad. So I wasn't really in the L.A. riots, but I did see it from afar.
Okay, now you were telling me a story off air about how you were trying to escort a young lady throughout the riot.
The next day, there was a friend of ours who lived in Los Angeles. She was very worried about going home, so my brother and I, we drove her home. He drove her car. I followed. We dropped her off. No incident. But we did manage to go get a up close and personal look at some of the damage, right, and even videotape some of the fires going on and that sort of thing. Didn't spend a whole lot of time there. Again, we were anxious to get out of there and go home. So, and then, and it was a weird environment as well. Even, you know, we lived on the outskirts of Los Angeles, but the rioting was spreading, and people were afraid to go out at night.
How far did you live from the area where the riots took place?
About a 25-minute drive, okay, you know, so it wasn't very far. But even then, like I said, they were spreading. The bars were open at night, but no one was there. No one would go out. They basically, everyone was indoors, and then eventually martial law was called, and the National Guard came in along, right, with the 7th Infantry, U.S. Marine Corps were there. Almost 15,000 troops in total to kind of get things back on track and restore the community.
So definitely a very scary thing to witness, to see with your own eyes. You know, you're just driving around, mind your own business. You see three fires. The next day you have to go through it yourself, you know, to escort a young lady. Mm-hmm. So when you hear people talk about all this riot talk, if this or that happens, I'm going to start a riot. We saw the skateboarders last week, you know, riot because they couldn't go see a movie, something, you know, very, very silly. But should there be a riot if Obama's not reelected, you know, what would you say to anybody who's planning or, you know, may actually go out and riot should that happen?
Well, obviously that's a concern. I'm also concerned about, you know, an agent provocateur type of thing.
Right.
I mean, this would be an excellent excuse for the government to come in and do like a false flag attack, if you would.
Oh, yes.
You know, so the potential danger is there. My concern is, you know, Obama loses the election. It's a very tight race. Who knows who's going to win? And if some people feel, let's say Obama were to lose, they feel disenfranchised.
Yes.
Perhaps there's some rumors of some voter fraud going on. You know, who knows? All it takes is that spark, you know, a little riot here, some violence here, there, and then it spreads out until it could be a national type of thing. And you never know. The potential for violence is definitely there.
Right. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head talking about provocateurs, talking about a false flag situation. We've heard numerous times that Obama needs a false flag to reconnect with the people. So even if he doesn't get reelected, you know, people may go out and riot in his name. We definitely don't want to encourage anybody to do that. But, you know, if one out of a thousand of these Twitter things is real, that's somebody who's actually planning to go out there and produce violence. And we see some of those tweets on the screen right there, and our viewers can see right there on PrisonPlanet.tv. All right, Darren, well, I'm very anxious to see this piece. So let's throw to this clip now, and we'll be back with more comments from Mr. Darren McBreen.
The 2012 presidential election is only weeks away, and many Obama supporters are already threatening to riot should Obama lose. I'm Darren McBreen, reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Now, we covered this past week the numerous threats that are dominating Facebook and Twitter accounts, illustrating the fact that they are a legitimate expression of how many Obama supporters plan to respond if Romney comes out on top. And checking Twitter feeds again this morning, we discovered that threats to riot on behalf of Obama supporters are still flooding in, even going as far as targeting Mitt Romney with death threats. Well, should all this rhetoric be taken seriously, or are these Obamanites just full of hot air? Well, as a reminder of just how quickly and how easily a massive riot can erupt in our country, well, we revisit the 1992 L.A. riots from South Central Los Angeles. The 1992 L.A. riots were a series of race riots that occurred over a six-day period in greater Los Angeles. They began after a jury trial acquitted four L.A. police officers in the videotaped beating of Rodney King. Thousands of people rioted throughout Los Angeles following the announcement of the verdict. Widespread looting, assaults, arson, and murder occurred, and estimates of property damages topped $1 billion. 53 people were killed during those 6 days, and over 2,000 people were injured. This history lesson could be a stern warning of what we can expect to see widespread throughout the country should Obama fail to secure a second term.
Ball. Fire department's on scene. don't even understand nothing. Come on.
That's not right. That's not right. That's not right what y'all doing.
I'm 39, be 40 in a couple months, and so help me God, I never seen parents teaching children to steal. I mean, breaking the windows down and pushing the kids in the store to steal. If I had done that, my mom would beat the stuffings out of me if she had caught me stealing. But these parents teaching their kids to steal, I can't understand it. But they ever take their kids to church? Do they ever teach them to believe in Jesus? I don't believe this stuff. I just can't.
It was time to use a tear gas, and after you spill the tear gas, then they go in the building.
Who are you?
My name is Captain Lewis. I work here.
You work for who?
I work for the building, California State.
Why do you have a gun now?
Because he was trying to get in there.
Did you have to use a gun on anybody?
No.
Okay, did you, is that loaded?
Yeah, but I just for protection.
Okay, how do you...
Here, look at this. This is inside a Kenny's shoe store. And, it's party time. These people are smiling, as you heard. They don't care. They know it's illegal. They don't care. But I'll tell you what happened moments later. The Korean merchants and store owners who own that shopping complex, they were talking to me for a moment. They said they were fed up. They walked away. Next thing I knew, they walked out of their stores. Three of them were holding guns, and they just started firing at everybody and anybody. some of this to you live earlier. Then what happened? Apparently a car full of some young black kids pulled up on the other side, and they started shooting back. You're going to start to see what they noticed what was going on. They started shooting back, and we were right in the middle of it. It all happened so quickly. To tell you the truth, I thought they were blanks at first. I couldn't believe that these guys had actually pulled out loaded guns, but they were. There were bullets flying all over. And here you can see, this is where they see the cars pull up and they start to shoot back.
They're pulling the driver out of the van, and they're kicking the driver and beating the driver. The driver's only mistake was entering this area. He's been kicked in the head. He's laying in the street. Okay, this is it. Terrible, terrible pictures. This is what all this guy did was enter this area. That's his only crime. Hit the siren, Doug. Yes. This guy is laying in the street. Hit the siren, Doug. He is bleeding unconscious in the street. Ross? Oh, it's tragic. The man is unconscious in the street. People are still coming up and throwing things at this poor individual.
Well, the rioting finally ended after soldiers from the National Guard and the U.S. Marines were called in to take over. And given the fact that Americans routinely riot in response to sporting events that don't go their way, well, the notion that civil unrest could occur if Obama is defeated, well, it's perfectly plausible. Respected black economist and philosopher Thomas Sowell warned of race riots if Obama loses the election. And the federal government has clearly been preparing for such a fallout with huge ammunition purchases. Meanwhile, police departments across the country are also preparing for civil unrest. I'm Darren McBreen for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, Darren, that was some excellent footage. Definitely another great report from Darren McBreen. And I definitely want to thank you for your time and for that great report, Darren. Any closing thoughts?
Well, yeah, I don't want to go just yet because okay. I did bring a clip.
Because
20 years ago that these L.A. riots happened. And, you know, I was doing some research for the piece that we played earlier. You know, a lot of this I forgot about. You know, it had been a long time. But I think, Marcos, if you could play the clip now. This is the infamous video of the Reginald Denny beating. And Reginald Denny is a white truck driver who stopped at a traffic light at an intersection. He was dragged from his vehicle and severely beaten by a mob of local black residents as the TV news helicopter hovered above.
That is a vicious beating.
Yeah, no, I mean, this guy he ended up being permanently damaged. His speech and ability to walk were permanently damaged. And, you know, a lot of motorists, you know, this mob went after several motorists that day. But Reginald Denny obviously being the most famous because it was captured on live television. Now, what's interesting about this, there was a young black kid by the name of Bobby Green Jr. He was home watching this on television.
Right.
And he got up off his couch, and because he lived close by, went and rescued Reginald Denny and picked him up, put him back in the truck, drove the actual truck that was being attacked,
right.
Drove him, got him out of there, rescued him, and put him in the hospital. So, you know, so there's a lot of stories, too, a lot of bravery, a lot of people helping each other
right.
in the time of crisis as well. But it was definitely an interesting 6 days, ones that I'll never forget.
6 days. Wow. How old were you back then?
I was a young whippersnapper of about 20 or so, yeah.
So had you encountered some of these guys, you wouldn't have had a problem.
Oh, no. I would have beaten every one of them single-handedly. Yeah, no problem. No, just kidding, man. You know what? We wanted to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
You know, when my brother and I took that friend of ours into town.
Right.
You know, I mean, we had some baseball bats and a firearm just in case. But we were not looking for trouble. We wanted to get her safely there and then get our butts safely home.
Well said, not looking for trouble, just being prepared.
Absolutely.
Should something happen.
And also in the piece earlier we saw Koreatown, the
right.
South Korean immigrants that were there, and they were being looted. Their companies were being destroyed, their shops and stores. They came out, you know, guns a-blazing, and they were able to manage to save a lot of their property by doing so.
All right. All right. Thanks again, Darren. Well, another great interview from Mr. Darren McBreen. Great footage, great bravery during the L.A. riots, and we definitely don't want to see anything like that happen again. Well, no time. I'll say anytime soon, but no time. So thanks to Darren McBreen, Rob Dew, and his great interview, the whole crew. We'll be back tomorrow night, and you guys be sure to check out the InfoWars Money Bomb coming up this Thursday, this week, starting the 18th, 11 a.m. Alex Jones will be broadcasting live, going a full 48 hours, a whole gamut of guests. So many people, I can't even get into it right here. And also subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv. Go on there, get a subscription. A lot of great stuff on there. You can get the nightly news, the Alex Jones radio show, grants, archives, all that good stuff. And stop by the InfoWars shop. We got the new InfoWars magazine, the new glossy covers that you guys saw the videos for a little bit earlier. So check all that out, and we'll be back tomorrow night. I'm Ja'Kari Jackson for the InfoWars nightly news, and we'll see you next time.
Controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death! InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We just expanded next door. We're coming for the New World Order. Yeah!
Yeah! It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world.
Here's freedom.
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to read our mission and to see the amazing roster of guests we've got lined up sharing their insights on liberty and resistance to tyranny. I got involved in radio and TV as well as filmmaking 17 years ago because I didn't like the direction I saw our country and our world going in. The attacks on basic freedoms like the Second Amendment, the move towards collectivism in the nanny state. And over the last decade and a half, InfoWars.com and my radio show and the films have become really part of the core resistance to tyranny worldwide. It seems like yesterday, but it was more than 5 years ago that I was sitting in my small office of about 3,000 square feet and realized that we were already reaching millions of people a week and that we had a responsibility to expand our operations in the face of the globalist. It was listeners 5 years ago that demanded we have a money bomb and expand our operations. We've gone from less than 10 crew members to more than 50 today. 5 years ago, I was reaching about 3 million people a week. Now it's 15 million a week conservatively. Imagine what will happen if you just tell one person a day about InfoWars.com or our news reports that are online. Imagine what will happen if you donate just $5 or $10 to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and allow us to go to the next level and put the nightly news out on free-to-air satellite worldwide. No, that one action won't save the world. But it will trigger brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere that will bring down the globalist and restore humanity on the right path of justice and liberty and a level playing field. We have a choice. The globalist dark age of control freak technocracy or 1776 worldwide. This October 18th and 19th, from Thursday morning right through into Saturday morning, it's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world. I'll see you live with the free video and audio streams emanating from PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. I'm Alex Jones, defending liberty, resisting tyranny.